Old Parish Council, Christie for Memorial Trust, and then Memorial or Working Party.
Councillor James Collins, interest in item 7 as a member of the Carillion Committee, and also item 10 as a county councillor. That's take advice from any of you possible on whether I need to be.
I think if Councillor Holland is in a position of management to the Carillion Committee, then you should probably withdraw from the meeting for that item. But I think just being a best camp council for broadband license probably can stay.
And just to clarify, the Green Committee doesn't have any authority or control at all of the building.
Leader, probably Council Paul can stay in that case.
Thank you very much. And just finally, I will have an interest under item 8 to deal with a family relationship to one of the grants being considered, and I will leave the room for it. So, I have item 3, I have no leaders announcements. Item 4, minutes of the previous meeting. Can we say those are sure an accurate record?
Yeah, I'm also accepting that.
Okay, that's nice acceptance of that. Thank you very much. So, item 5, questions under the current procedure 10.7. So, we have two questions this evening. The first one is actually from Councillor Hayes, and I'd like to ask Councillor Hayes to leave the table. If I could say that Councillor Hayes, you have 5 minutes to make any statement and also to initially read out the question if you wish to. The 5 minutes will be timed by Laura, on the basis that shout your warning to you when the time comes up. You have your question has been printed and also the answer has been printed out as well. You're more than welcome to read out your question if you wish. And then afterwards you can see what your answer and maybe take a photo.
Thank you,
Leader.
I'll be short and a little bit more to the break than I was the other evening. Before I go on to the question, thank you very much for the answer to the question. There's firstly the rules of submitting questions. I'd like to submit a question before the meeting took place, which kind of from a democratic point of view and rules point of view seems a bit bizarre. Secondly, and that's before the outcome of the meeting. Thank you very much for the question and the answer. What clearly did not come through from the planning minutes, which I've read this afternoon, was there's no, whilst you're looking for a decision, a straight decision for a symmetry, there's no conversations or discussions with regard to local plan, or has the local plan picking this up and making provisions for this. As though, for example, in Burrow, they've purchased land, private land, there's been no discussions in this. We call that private land. In Syston, there's also similar things going on with regard to planning application and the cemetery. So quite simply, there seems to be, this is just a quick fix, this is a knee-jerk reaction. You've got land, it's come across literally within just a short period of time ago. We've made promises under the planning regulations that this was going to be open space and recreational. Our own strategy 2010 says that we have a deficit in this area and therefore.
Sorry, can I just ask you, the question is supplementary to the answer that's been provided?
I think that's my one statement, Peter.
Okay, but is it needs to be gone to the actual question?
I think the question quite simply is the report needs a lot more consideration. The report does not furnish an answer to questions which have already been committed within the planning application. So I think it's flawed in bringing this to
any more comment about the actual burial cost, because I think the answer is quite clear, and we are imminently going to stop the pre-purchase of plots, so that we try and make what is left of space in the current cemetery last as long as possible. But in terms of the actual question, we do actually charge non-Loughborough residents double what we charge Loughborough residents for burial.
Thank you. resolved by SNB, and I wanted to re-emphasise that it, we were only at the first stage of the process, and it was in no way a quick fix or a done deal. So I would like to propose that further work is undertaken to appraise the sites for a cemetery in Loughborough or another suitable site. Public consultation will be undertaken on the viable options, and a further report be submitted to Cabinet following consultation on the viable options, setting out the preferred option. Thank you. Is there a reason to allow for suitable long-term cemetery provision for Loughborough to be established?
This is a response to a motion that was put to Council that was referred to Cabinet, clarifying our stance on the buying back of Council properties which the purchaser are obliged to offer back to the Council if they're going to sell them within a certain period of time. Thank you.
being split by the premise of, for example, houses of multiple occupation, they are the people in the borough wide want more affordable social housing, family housing. May I suggest that the council check on those waiting for properties, which in turn might indicate where they want housing and why? Perhaps this could be collated and therefore used as a basis for buying. Thank you for listening, and I look forward to the positive cabinet advice tonight about progressive moving forward to buy back former council properties, whether they're students or otherwise.
It's not that sophisticated. Thank you very much. Thank you very much. Are there any questions of clarity that anyone would like to ask Councillor Bradshaw about what she said? In that case, thank you very much, Councillor Bradshaw. Can I ask now Councillor Taylor to join us on behalf of the RSG? And
thank you, Leader. The group did have a good look at this policy again, and we were made aware that there's actually no change to the current policy, and we're just looking to ensure that it's fit for purpose. We were told that any sort of promotion of this is not really going to be that helpful because it will come up on the covenant when the property goes to seven, so they should be picking that up and informing us. We did look at the number of factors, what happens when a house is offered back to us, and we look at the type of the property and the location of it and the condition of it as well is quite important. And we also refer that to the waiting housing list, and we told at the moment that there's a need for two bedroom properties. We're also informed that there's no actual allocated funding for the buyback of properties, and if one becomes available then we look at the business case for it and then we look at where we can get the funding from. So there's no actual pot of money just sitting there waiting to buy when the council hands back. I won't go over what Councillor Bradshaw just said about the properties that have come back to us, but the group are quite happy that the policy is fit for purpose at the moment and we don't feel there's any changes needed. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Councillor Taylor. Does anyone have any points of clarity or questions that they wish to raise with Councillor Taylor? Thank you. If I can invite Alison Simmons to the table as well as presented before.
Thank you. As I've also been indicated, the purpose of the report was to provide the details of the council's position in respect to the buybacks following the motion on notice. The legislation sets out consideration in relation to the number of years when we have to consider a property under the covenant, and this has been in place since 2005. It requires any freehold or leasehold to offer the property back to the council. The council doesn't have to purchase the property, and the applicant wouldn't have the right, the offer wouldn't have the right of appeal. So in relation to the process was approved by cabinet on the 25th of September 2014, and is detailed in paragraph 4. In taking into consideration any funds available, the housing needs and demand for the type of property being offered in the area where the property is located. The cost of any refurbishment work to bring the property up to decent standards and that the purchaser can value for money. In addition, we can nominate a registered provider so they can take on the property. In relation to some of the points that Councillor Bradshaw made, we have got a housing strategy that sets out that we have got a need for two bedroom properties, which is why the emphasis has been on the buybacks for two bedroom properties.
reports is a copy of a document which has now been placed on the council website, which actually clarifies the policy on this, which wasn't there before. So something has been achieved from this slightly protracted exercise. I think if we actually went down the route that was suggested, then we would actually be criticised for actually acquiring properties which we didn't need in areas that which we didn't want them, and properties that didn't actually offer value for money. And I think we actually have a very clear policy on this. We have to meet those four criteria, and we have actually produced evidence to show that all the properties that have been offered as they're legally obliged to be offered, there was only one that was vaguely suitable and met our criteria, and it ultimately wasn't appropriate. But certainly in the future, we will be assiduously looking at every one of them and seeing if we can actually tick all four of those boxes. What I would therefore like to recommend is that Cabinet endorses the actions that are being taken. And the reason for doing that is to ensure that the position in respect of applying back the former council properties outlined has been considered, and that the process of acquisition has been clarified.
Thank you very much, Councillor Lester. Can I invite a seconder for that proposal?
Thank you, Councillor Harper Davies, and I'd like to second that, please.
Thank you very much. In that case, putting that to the vote, can I see those in favour? Thank you very much. I see that. Thank you very much, Councillor. Right, now so we've moved to item 7, which is the Carroll Tower Memorial Restoration. Councillor Taylor, I'd like to ask you to come to the table as well, since there's an overview report attached to this item. And then once you're seated, I'll ask Councillor Burke to introduce the item, and then perhaps Councillor Taylor, you might present the overview report itself.
Thank you, Leader. I was just waiting for the full instruction from you because I jumped the gun for the last one. I'd like to introduce this report as the Corridon Tower Restoration Project, which was passed at the last council. We are awaiting a grant from the War Memorials Trust, but in preparation of other funding sources as well, we'd like to crack on with the restoration project, and we're seeking approval for that this evening.
Thank you very much. Castor would like to
thank you, Leader. We've just made obviously very aware that the decision will really be taken by full council to spend the $282,000 that had been approved already. There was obviously some concern about the tower, but we were pretty sure that the building is structurally sound and this work is just going to safeguard it for the future. That was one of the issues. Because the costings that we've got here are just based on a condition survey, it's not actually gone out to tender yet, so we were quite concerned about what a full tender might bring up, and there was quite a bit in the actual condition report that sort of said, oh, we've not looked here, we've not looked behind it. So there was some concerns that it could unearth something that we're not expecting. So that did put a bit of a risk, financial risk to the council. So we did really want to flag that up to Cabinet to ensure that you're aware that it could have to come back as a decision if the tender is a lot more than we were expecting or a lot more work's needed. So that is something that we really would like you to consider. Also, within this condition report, it was noted that there's a very low contingency amount included as well. You know, percentage-wise, as to what the full cost of the works might be, it's quite a low contingency, so that's something else that Cabinet should consider as well. We were made aware that there could be other funding streams if there was, you know, quite a higher tender document that came in, that there are other funding streams that we could use. So we're quite content that we will be able to do the work, but we just want Cabinet to be fully aware that there are some. There could be some financial risk to council.
Thank you very much, that's very, very helpful. Are there any questions of council that anyone wishes to raise with?
It's Councillor Harper Davies speaking. My understanding is that we, on the Ball Memorial Trust Board, do most of the funding, and then we'll have to pay and then claim back. So if the council's not putting ourselves at £282,000, which of course we imagine for risk, we will get a significant amount of money back. So I want to clarify that back, please.
Yeah, we're aware of that, but there is also the potential that we might not actually get the grant for the memorial. Can't sit here and say we're definitely going to get that funding, so there is still the risk of the council.
Coming into the town,
I think it's an excellent idea. Yes, I can see about some things about this funding, but I'm confident that with the professions of our officers, this will come through and it will be a real asset for the town. Thank you. Thank you, Linda, Councillor James Donovan. Want to start by echoing what Councillor Vargas has said there. This is something that since leisure was in my portfolio, I think we were talking about it then. It's in addition to being obviously the main memorial for the town, it's a symbol of the borough. And you know, it'd be just a crying shame putting it mildly if it went out on our watch. This is something that we need to do to make sure that it's there in the best order it can be, not only for next year, for the 100-year anniversary, but also for many decades to come. I do have a question regarding going through the normal procurement process. Obviously, the nature of bell making, I think I'm right in saying is the table bell banking is the only one left in the country now. So, presumably, you have to go internationally for other makers. Is that correct? And if so, is anybody given to local companies compared to those from abroad?
The survey by the architect who's undertaking the condition report is not suggesting we actually replace the bells. because of the historic nature that we are in fact all memorial. Although the Taylor Bell Foundry did submit a report, the view of the architect who is recommended from the Hall Memorial Trust is not to actually replace the bells. Saying that there is significant work that needs to be done due to the unique work and the unique relationship, the plan at the moment is to seek a waiver to actually ensure that that particular procurement is replaced with Taylor Bell Foundry.
I think that's absolutely essential because the three biggest bells are named after the three children of John Taylor, all of them died in the First World War. However, what I'd like to ask is, I stood there on the 9th of Sunday, trying to read the names on the backs, and obviously it was quite difficult. I'm quite pleased to see that this includes actually cleaning, but the problem is they'll deteriorate, I suspect, quite quickly. Is that something that we could look at actually keeping them readable in the future rather than actually going back in 40 years' time to have to do it again? Perhaps a pretty ongoing but continuing process of keeping them clean.
I think that's an excellent point. Also, I think the whole power-on process and the refurbishment process will bring a lot of public attention. And so far, we've had a very, very positive response. A lot of people are interested in the refurbishment project. So once the interest is there, I think it would be remiss of us to not continue to make sure the power-on tower is maintained in a way that the people of Loughborough
thank you very much. I don't think there are any further questions from anyone else. I'd like to as with all the councillors present on Sunday, but also out there on Saturday as well. And I have to say, it is an extraordinary building in the centre of Queen's Park. Every time I look at it, I see.
282,000 would seem rather expensive for light bulbs. And I'd just like to reassure Paul that Sylvia has got me on cat cleaning rota. With that said, I have great pleasure in recommending that we approve a scheme for the restoration of the Peruvian Tower as set out in Part B of this report. And the reason for that, to enable a programme of restoration works to be started as soon as possible, and I will be out cleaning the plaques next week.
The purpose of the report is to enable the Cabinet to consider applications received for funding in Round 3 of the Community Facilities and Community Development and Engagement Grant Scheme 2017-18. These grants have all been recommended by a grants panel, which is very independent. It's made up of 6 members of the staff, of the officer staff, and they receive all the details of each requirement before they go to their grants meeting. They have to make their decisions on the grading of each particular one before they go, and then when they get to their meeting, they are then, interrogated. I think that's the right word, because it is, they are interrogated by other members of the panel to see why they chose a particular percentage point. Those percentages then work towards the total grant, and they're based on criteria which are well understood by members of the panel. And after they've all been interrogated, each member is then allowed to look at their recommendation and make decisions to whether they need to up their point score or reduce it. After which, an average is then taken across the panel.
concerns the provision, and this application enables them to expand the number of the communities that are going to attend. All of the detailed relations to this application are contained in the report. In addition, the report is recommending that we run around four in this financial year with a focus primarily, but not solely, on environmental projects, as there's an underspend on the environmental element of the grant part. It's proposed that this will come to cabinet in the year 2018.
Thank you. Thank you very much for a comprehensive report, Julie. Now, as many of the cabinet will be, the question that they might ask.
Thank you, Leader. Yes, once again, we've seen a great and diverse number of grants that have been proposed this evening. I'm looking at some of them, like youth, health, with vulnerable, literacy. One particular one there is, it's nice to see, I wonder if anybody here in the council is here, Mr. Sugarwood Clark Foundation. I know that Margaret's there, I know I am. But any of you, I suspect not, because right at the far corner of our borough, yet if you spent the time to go there, you would see what great work they do there for all many sectors of the community, the vulnerable and needy, and the local health issues. So, and also, I know that when somebody gets a grant, this is just not a one-off thing, and then, you know, here's your grant, you can go now. There's all that support that you give to them in A, creating the grant in the first place, but B, supporting that on, you know, it's these little add-ons, the fact that some of these groups are not seen as being isolated, and our team here do a great job in supporting them. So, thank you.
Thank you.